You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Okay, welcome back here. This is the good doctor, Dr. Mike Newcomb, sitting in live right now for Tom Hartman, my friends. And you know the routine. Right now we're pretty used to it, Eric, aren't we?
Yeah, we're getting there, Mike.
We're getting there. But listen, today we're going to do something a little different today in the sense that during the next 3 hours, we are going to talk about a topic, to me, that is so important, not only to this political season, not only to this upcoming election in November, but it's a topic that's, one, near and dear to my heart, and it's also, I'm quite sure, near and dear to your hearts as well. And this particular topic has to do with women, okay? Now, I know there's this uproar with this Republican Senate nominee, Todd Akin, and the fact that he pretty much tried to qualify rape as either a legitimate rape or forcible rape, and we're going to talk about all of this today. But that being said, what really has become part and parcel of Republican doctrine has literally been this war, if you will, on women. Okay, you cavalierly hear Mitt Romney, the presidential nominee, often talking about President Obama and his war on religion and his, you know, war on Christmas or war on this or war on that and war on coal. But the bottom line is that when you look at what the Republican Party has done over the last several decades, you can go back from the Reagan days. Actually, you could probably go back to the Founding Fathers and go all the way several hundred years ago and see how it's become part of the institutionalization of discrimination against women that's become part of conservatism and the Republican philosophy. But if you just go back to the Reagan days and move forward, the Republican Party has made a concerted effort, a 100% concerted effort to demean women, to belittle women, to objectify women, to not give women the same individual rights and the same individual liberties that are afforded to their male counterparts. And every step along the way, it's been getting worse and worse and worse. So what you heard with Todd Akin, the Republican nominee for Senate in Missouri, is just a red herring. I mean, it's just really the tip of the iceberg, literally the tip of the iceberg, because I'm going to show you today, live, over the airwaves, we are going to dissect this, okay? We're going to dissect it live over the airwaves and prove to you that the Republican Party is very hostile to women's rights, to women's individual liberties and women's freedoms. And this really shouldn't be a partisan issue. It shouldn't be an ideological issue. If you're a human being with any sense of compassion, if you're a human being with any sense of intelligence, of any sense of practicalness, you would understand that you don't discriminate against anyone, period. But on top of that, to discriminate against the sex that actually is responsible, Eric, for procreating, for basically the propagation of the species, I would have to think, Eric, that's a pretty bad enemy to pick.
Well, yeah, considering there's more women in the country than there are men.
And that women could propagate the species. Without women, there is no human race.
Absolutely.
So it's one thing to pick as your enemy the terrorists. It's one thing to pick as your enemy, you know, gay and lesbians. It's one thing to pick sort of brown-skinned people and immigrants. But when you start aiming at the actual segment of the human species that reproduces and makes sure that we as a human species survive, I think that's pretty bad politics, Eric. I think it's pretty poor planning. So we're going to talk about that today. I have tons of audio that I've actually saved throughout the last year or two that comes from directly the horse's mouth, directly from Republican leaders. This is not just people in the street. This is not just people, you know, at a water cooler talking about, you know, issues of women's rights. These are actual elected Republican officials who are in positions of leadership positions within the Republican Party. And you will see, it'll become crystal clear to you, no matter where you sit on the political aisle, after hearing the audio from these individuals, it will become crystal clear to you that there is a full frontal assault on women's rights in this country, and it is being absolutely directed by the Republican Party and the powers that be within the Republican Party. I would challenge anybody, any conservative, I would challenge Mitt Romney, Paul Ryan, anybody out there to take what I show you today and then reproduce a show like that, showing me that there are liberals or progressives or independent thinkers who utter such discriminatory and hateful and vile words and try to codify into law the institutionalized discrimination against the largest segment of our society, women. Okay? I challenge anybody, anybody out there, Sean Hannity, Rush Limbaugh, any of the talkers, Governor Mike Huckabee, you will not find liberal talkers speaking such vile, hostile attitudes towards women. Okay, so we're going to talk about that. Before we get to that, though, let me give you the number for the Freedom Lines here on the Tom Hartman program. It's 1-866-987-TOM, T-H-O-M. Again, that's 1-866-987-8466. You can reach me via email locally, Mike, M-I-K-E, at Mike Newcomb, that's N-E-W-C-O-M-B, .net. Okay, so Eric, let's just get right to it, okay? Let's get to it here. This all started with this representative, the Senate nominee, Representative Todd Aiken.
Yeah.
And this is a guy, Eric, who is a representative. He's been elected to Congress. He's served in Congress. So it's not like he got thrown a softball question when it comes to abortion and exceptions with respect to incest or rape. It's a question he's fielded multiple times. It's a question that has been in the conversation for decades now. So,
well, I have a problem with legitimate rape. Is there any other kind as forcible rape?
Well, this is what he said. He basically said, well, I'll play the clip for you in a second, but in essence, just paraphrasing him, he said that in the cases of legitimate rape, that women don't get pregnant from that, that women, that the female body has a way to shut the whole thing down.
Really?
Yes. So in other words,
as a medical doctor, Mike, is that true?
Eric, this is the most asinine, ridiculous thing that I've ever heard uttered from someone's mouth.
The female body goes into some kind of anti-rape mode or something?
Right, it's an anti-rape mode. Your body just knows that you're being raped, and it basically sends out soldiers, right, to, you know, kill the sperm, knowing that these are not friendly sperm, that these are terrorist sperm,
right,
that basically have infiltrated the body, and somehow or another, the body activates this military that can tell whether or not you're a friendly sperm versus an unfriendly sperm. I mean, and on top of this, too, Eric, this guy, Aiken, do you know he sits, Representative Boehner, the leader of the Republican Party, the majority in the House of Representatives, he sits on a science and technology committee. This is the guy who sits on a committee, Eric, that's determining where science and technology goes in America.
Well, it's more like determined to get rid of science and
technology. Absolutely. And this, to me, is what is so absolutely frightening about this, okay? Because this is, as I said, as a doctor, this is just a symptom, Eric. This is a symptom of a cancer that has become widespread in the Republican Party. Todd Aiken is, like I said, just the tip of the iceberg. This thing is metastatic. This hate for women, this discrimination against women, this looking at women as second-class citizens, it's become metastatic. It has metastasized throughout the entire Republican Party. And just recently, just before we went live on the air, the Republican Party's National Convention, the committee, actually has now put on the platform they want a constitutional amendment that would give, in essence, personhood to a fertilized egg, a sperm and an egg that gets together. And in essence, there will be no exceptions, Eric. If
can this fetus donate money to Super PAC funds?
Well, maybe that's what they're looking at. But in essence, there will be no exceptions for rape or no exceptions for incest. This is the Republican Party's national platform. So if your daughter gets raped, if your spouse gets raped, it doesn't matter. They got to have the baby. We'll be back with more of the Tom Hartman program in a moment. Stay with us.
This is the Tom Hartman program.
Okay, welcome back. 20 minutes after the hour currently. This is Dr. Mike Newcomb sitting in for Tom Hartman. You're listening to the Tom Hartman program, broadcasting from the Valley's Progressive Talk, Eric, 1480 KPHX.
Oh, yeah.
And people can check us online, right? 1480KPHX.com.
Don't forget to check out our official Facebook page.
Check out the Facebook page. But listen, today's entire program, The Doctor, is good doctor here, is dedicating to the women of the United States of America. And it doesn't matter to me if you're from the left or the right or Republican or independent. We're talking about the war on women right now. We have Adam Peck on the line. He's with Think Progress. He's a reporter. And we're going to talk about this particular issue. Adam, welcome to the table.
Thank you so much for having me.
It's great to have you, Adam. Well, Adam, tell us a little bit about the work that you've been doing investigating sort of this, the aspects or components of this war on women from what you found.
Sure. Well, you know, I think it would be a mistake for anyone to assume that Todd Akin's recent comments over the weekend were anything resembling an isolated incident. I think
exactly.
It was perhaps the most indelicate way I've ever heard somebody, place words to policy. But, I mean, the truth of the matter is, a lot of what he said is very much something that many conservatives subscribe to. I don't think they would have said the quote that Representative Akin said on Sunday, but a lot of them certainly agree with where Akin is coming from on abortion. And in fact, many of them, dozens, have co-sponsored legislation with Representative Akin that would seek to curb a woman's access to an abortion, seek to radically redefine when life begins, and ascribe the same rights that you and I enjoy to a fertilized egg, including the Republican vice presidential candidate, Paul Ryan, who co-sponsored several pieces of legislation with Akin on this very topic. So while, you know, Akin's comments were definitely outrageous and certainly haven't heard anything quite that dramatic said by a sitting congressman, I don't think that the policy that he subscribes to is unique at all within the Republican Party.
No, actually, on the contrary, it is part and parcel of the fabric of the modern-day Republican Party.
Absolutely.
Maybe you can speak a little bit more directly, Adam, to, I just saw this break before I got on the air here, but the mm-hmm. Republican Party's National Committee,
yeah.
the convention that's up forthcoming in Tampa, they have included, actually as part of the party platform, a constitutional amendment, a personhood amendment, if you will,
yeah.
that would allow abortions that would disallow abortions even in cases of incest and rape. So maybe you can speak a little bit more directly to that.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, just earlier today, Bob McDonnell, who is the Republican governor of Virginia and is also heading up the Republican platform committee this year, passed, included in his initial draft and will likely be included in the official party platform, exactly that, wording that would redefine the start of life to begin at conception. And, while the Romney-Ryan campaign have tried their best to distance themselves from Akin, and his comments, the fact is where they currently stand, or at least where they claim they stand, where they're opposed to abortion with exceptions for incest and rape, that would set them apart from their own party. Their own party is preparing to pass a platform that would prohibit all forms of abortion with absolutely no exclusions for abortion or rape. So it's
talented. Right. No, I think it passed, though. I think it actually passed today, Adam. I think I was checking out on Think Progress. I think they actually passed that. That resolution went through.
All day today, Republicans have been hammering out the details of their policy, and it'll be officially unveiled at the RNC next week. It's a little remarkable that the presidential ticket of one of the major parties is so dramatically at odds with the representatives, their fellow representatives in Congress on this issue.
No doubt about it. Now, just as a point of disclosure, too, so the audience is aware of this, this governor from Virginia, Bob McDonnell, the Republican, he also was the governor who signed that mandatory ultrasound bill
right.
in Virginia that requires all women who want to undergo termination of a pregnancy to undergo a government-mandated ultrasound. And his original version, too, Adam, I don't know if you recall mm-hmm. this, but it was a transvaginal ultrasound. So it was actually
right.
an ultrasound that would violate a woman, government sanctioned. I mean, if that's not government-sponsored rape, when you're actually saying that you
yeah.
must have this you know, ultrasound device inserted transvaginally, even if your doctor doesn't want it, even if you don't want it, we, the government, the Republican Party, are going to say you must undergo this invasive procedure, otherwise face criminal prosecution. Maybe you could speak a little bit to that, too, Adam.
Sure. Yeah, McDonald was originally one of the champions of that kind of legislation and, you know, pushed it through the General Assembly in Virginia. Ultimately, you know, women, not just in Virginia, but across the country, and not just women either, I should say, any reasonable voter, were outraged that this was even under discussion. And, you know, McDonald's facing so much public pressure that eventually, you know, after this became public knowledge, he had to kind of back away from that quite a bit. But yeah, no, it, you know, it doesn't change the fact that for a long time he was the one who was really fighting for those mandatory transvaginal ultrasounds for any women seeking an abortion. And it's you know, I think just it goes to show it continues to be another, you know, indication about how far to the right the Republican Party has gone. And again, you know, these aren't some, you know, fringe politicians who are suggesting this kind of legislation. It's, you know, it's over the
governors
years, kind of been right. This is you know, one
chief
of the,
executive officer of an entire state.
Right. And one of the heroes, one of the people for many people who was considered to be on Mitt Romney's own shortlist for vice president.
Right. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Yeah. Listen, Adam, I hear the music. We got to get running. I appreciate your time. And listen, you guys do a phenomenal job at Think Progress. I look at your site every single day. It's my Bible, if you will.
Right.
So keep up the good work. Incredible work at thinkprogress.org. Thanks a lot, Adam. All right, listen, we'll be back with your call. Some of the audio I want to share with you. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. This is Mike Newcomb sitting in.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 866-987-THOM.
Okay, welcome back. 34 minutes after the hour. Dr. Mike Newcomb sitting here for Tom Hartman. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. We got a full board of callers. Eric, the Freedom Lines are packed right now. Tom's got an incredible audience, very intelligent, very insightful, and I'm sure they have a lot to say on this issue. But let's
very
play
patient
this.
As well.
Very patient as well. Let's play this clip, though, first. Representative Todd Akin, the clip that basically sparked this whole firestorm of controversy that now has eventuated in the Republican Party and many of its leaders calling for him to step down and not to run because he's got to do it before 5 o'clock today. Otherwise, it would take a court order to get him off the ballot. So there's incredible pressure being put on this guy because the Republican Party, you know what they realize now, Eric? They've been exposed. They realize that now the...
Now they got to hide the guy.
Now they got to hide him
like
somewhere.
The Catholic Church does.
Right. You can't really... Exactly. Pedophile priest, we can have none of that. Well, in this case, you know, women-hating politicians, we just can't have them in the limelight a week or so before our national convention. So this is the tape. This is what sparked the controversy. Are you ready, Eric?
You're good to go, Mike.
Of the importance of all of us.
Okay, so if an abortion could be considered in a case of, say, a tubal pregnancy or something like that, what about in the case of rape? Should it be legal or not?
Well, you know, people always want to try and make that as one of those things. Well, how do you slice this particularly tough sort of ethical question? It seems to me, first of all, from what I understand from doctors, that's really rare. If it's a legitimate rape, the female body has ways to try to shut that whole thing down. But let's assume that maybe that didn't work or something. You know, I think there should be some punishment, but the punishment ought to be in the rapist and not attack.
Right. So just absolutely stunning. If that didn't work, though, Eric, if somehow or another, you know, the military force inside a woman's uterus didn't recognize that as terrorist sperm, then, you know, well, I think we should basically just prosecute the rapist. But by all means, the woman should continue to have that pregnancy. I mean, what about the woman's individual rights and individual liberty? They talk about individual liberty as something sacrosanct. They often talk about the Declaration of Independence as it's saying that you have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Well, what about the woman's life? What about her liberty? What about her pursuit of happiness?
No, not going to happen. not with the GOP.
No, they weren't thinking that, right? The founding fathers were not thinking about the woman's right to happiness, the woman's right to liberty, the woman's right to freedom and independence. They were thinking more about the fertilized egg at the time, I would assume.
I'm being very reserved right now, but that comment angers me immensely.
It is incredibly. I mean, when I heard this, legitimate, if it's a legitimate rape, and then this is the guy on the science committee, the science and technology committee, appointed by Representative John Boehner, you know, and he's like, I heard this from doctors. Look, I'm a physician. I'm a practicing physician. In my entire medical career, I have never heard something so preposterous.
The term legitimate rape.
And the fact that somehow or another a woman's body knows that it was a rapist sperm and that the body can then target the sperm and block conception. I mean, never have I ever heard of something so asinine, so ridiculous, and so patently false. But yet, this is something, Eric, that has been echoed over and over and over again in Republican circles. I mean, this is not an isolated incident.
Of course it's not.
This is something that Republican leaders, elected officials, people in the clergy, people of religious persuasion, have repeatedly said over and over and over again that somehow or another, you know, this is God would block it. God would block the actual conception from taking place. Look, I'm going to get to the phone callers right now, so let's just open up these lines and hear what people have to say. We have somebody on the line, Lynn from Missouri, who actually is in the congressional district of Representative Akin. So, Lynn, thank you for calling and taking time out of your day.
Hi, Mike.
Hello.
Mike, I'm actually glad that Todd Akin said what he said. Mm-hmm. Maybe this will make people wake up and pay attention to these guys that are in office and not vote on a sound bite, but pay attention to their voting records and what they actually stand for. Todd Akin has spoken these same words for many years. He never should have been elected. Let me tell you a few of the other things he believes in. Mm-hmm. He doesn't think we need a minimum wage. He wants to eliminate school lunches for low-income children. He also has equated federal student loans to stage 3 cancer. Hmm. This actually came out of his mouth, stage 3 cancer.
Wow.
So why do we have a guy like this even in office? I really just hope people will pay attention.
Let me ask you this, Lynn. Take me through the mindset of some of the voters in your district, though. I mean, obviously, this guy has been serving for multiple terms in that particular district in Missouri.
Right.
What do the people in that district think about him? Why do they support such a candidate?
You know, actually, the Missouri Farmers came out just last week and said that they were going to support Todd Akin because they have always supported a Republican, basically. Mm-hmm. Even though Todd Akin doesn't support the farmers, they said they were still going to support him. And Claire McCaskill, his opponent, to her credit, she said that she still would support the farmers. She would do whatever she could to help them, even though they aren't supporting her. And I thought that was a very classic thing for her to say. She didn't have to say that.
So in essence, what you're saying then, Lynn, is that people vote blindly, at least in that district. They vote Republican no matter what. So they're not rational, individual human beings who think for themselves. If the party says this is what you do, then you do it, regardless of what the party stands for.
And a lot of people vote on sound bites. They vote on a commercial, whoever has the best commercial. Instead of doing their homework, as I said, and checking the record of the person that's in office, or just listen to exactly what they're saying, because Todd Akin's been saying these things for a long time.
Right. Well, it's nothing new. Well, listen, Lynn, thank you very much for calling today from his particular district, and hopefully he will step down. It looks like he's saying he's in it. He's going to pray. He's going turning to God right now. And, I think he's usurping the name of God to cover for his immoral and just unconscionable words. But thanks a lot, Lynn.
Thank you, Dr. Mike.
Okay. All right, that's Lynn calling in from Missouri right now. Now, I also want to touch basically on that Governor McDonald thing too, though, so people understand it. Because we've had similar types of initiatives trying to be implemented here in Arizona. And when it comes to the abortion issue, like I said, it's very interesting how conservative Republicans are all against rules and regulations, and in particular regulations that are enacted by either state governments or the federal government. But in this particular case, with the ultrasound bill that he passed, as I said, the original bill from Governor McDonald was a transvaginal ultrasound. Now, the only reason that Republicans are doing this and conservatives are doing this across the country, it's to humiliate and shame a woman. If it's not enough that you're actually considering terminating a pregnancy, that's got to be such a heart-wrenching decision to make. I can't imagine any woman cavalierly making a decision about terminating a pregnancy. It's got to rip somebody apart on the inside. I know that. I've had friends and colleagues who have terminated pregnancies. I've seen the suffering. I've seen the sadness in their eyes. But it's something that is very difficult to do, okay? But what the Republicans want to do is they want to humiliate the woman. They want the woman and the doctor, okay? They want the doctor to force the woman to look at an ultrasound and say, look, look, there's your baby. That's the baby that you're killing. That's the baby that you're murdering. Look, do you hear me? Look at it now. That's what the Republican Party's doing. It's no different. If you ever saw the movie Clockwork Orange, in Clockwork Orange, towards the end of the movie, where they force this guy, the criminal, the droogie guy, to actually look at violent videos, to look at videos, to sort of condition him to think a certain way, all right, to indoctrinate him, to brainwash him and cause a physiological response. This was a government basically trying to brainwash someone using coercion and methods of indoctrination. This is no different. If you've never seen that scene in Clockwork Orange, this is the modern day version of it. It's the Republican Party and conservatives wanting women to be forced to look at ultrasounds and hopefully play off of their vulnerable state, their emotions, and somehow or another convince the woman to do otherwise. And what they were looking to do was to criminalize physicians. Like, if I, as a doctor, and I can tell you right now, although I'm a geriatric physician, I don't do that kind of work, I will tell you right now, if that was a state law here and they told me that I have to perform that as a doctor, I would say screw you. I would say screw you, screw your state legislators, screw the horse that you rode in. And there's no way as a doctor I would be doing a transvaginal ultrasound against a patient's wishes because you, the government, told me to do that. I would never do that, and I hope other fellow doctors across this country start standing up for women, standing up for their rights, and stop allowing intrusive government to humiliate women and belittle women and force them into things that are not even medically necessary, the least of which is a transvaginal ultrasound, okay, penetrating a woman in a private area against her wishes. That, to me, is state-sponsored rape. As a doctor, that is state-sponsored rape, and it should have absolutely no role whatsoever in this country. This is something that we as a society, we as a country, need to stand up and say enough is enough. Let's call the Republican Party for what they've become. Let the American people know what they've become. Because these kinds of laws are being passed all throughout the country in Republican-controlled state legislatures, and they want to do it now nationally at the federal level. So it is now time for we the people, not just women, okay? For my fellow men out there, this is not a women's issue. This is a human rights issue. This is a human being issue. This is an issue of liberty and freedom. So I encourage not only women, but my fellow man to stand up. Stand by your women, stand up, and fight the fight. 45 minutes after the hour, we'll be back with more of the Tom Hartman Program. This is Dr. Mike Newcomb sitting in.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Visit TomHartman.com for audio and video archives.
Okay, welcome back. 50 minutes after the hour, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. This is Dr. Mike Newcomb sitting in, and we're broadcasting right now from Phoenix, Arizona, our station 1480 KPHX. It is the Valley's Progressive Talk, and I'll tell you, we sure need it out here in Arizona. I'm going to get to your calls in a second, but I want to play a few more of these clips just so I can prove to you that this is not an isolated incident. This is something that is endemic across the entire Republican Party. So, Eric, let's go to none other than Rush Limbaugh himself, who, you know, speaks to millions and millions and millions of conservatives each week. And this is a very famous quote, but this is something that, quite frankly, nobody in the Republican Party was willing to come out and call him to the carpet on.
Thank you. What does it say about the college co-ed Susan Fluke, who goes before a congressional committee and essentially says that she must be paid to have sex? What does that make her? It makes her a slut, right? Makes her a prostitute. She wants to be paid to have sex. She's having so much sex she can't afford the contraception. She wants you and me and the taxpayers to pay her to have sex. What does that make us? We're the pimps. The Johns. That's right. We would be the Johns. No! We're not the John. Well, yeah, that's right. Pimp's not the right word. Okay, so she's not a slut. She's round-heeled. I take it back.
All right, so that's Rush Limbaugh, and that created a whole firestorm of controversy as well. But you see, it never ends. It never ends with the Republican Party. So whether it is a media critic or whether it is a radio personality like Rush Limbaugh, whether it's an elected official, Representative Todd Akin, who wants to become now a senator, okay, it is an epidemic everywhere within the Republican Party. And to call Sandra Fluke a slut because she was advocating on behalf of her right as a woman to have contraception covered in her insurance plan, and then to imply that she, somehow or another she is a slut, to me is incredibly offensive. It's incredibly offensive as a healthcare provider and as a doctor to hear anyone speaking about a woman who is seeking contraception in such a manner. But to personally besmirch her character and say on the public airways that this woman is a slut. First of all, Eric, if you're on contraception, it doesn't even necessarily mean that you're having frequent sex. I mean, it's
right.
That's the whole point, is just in case if you do happen to have sex, and it might be one episode of sex in 2 years. You don't know.
Yeah, but we've also discussed this on locally in Phoenix, Mike, that it, you know, people take contraception for other reasons.
No, for other reasons as well. But
for other medical reasons.
But again, the insinuation there that just because a woman is taking
that she's round-heeled.
Yeah, that she's round-heeled and she's, you know, getting it on, you know, 5-6 times a day with 7 different men and, you know, just can't get enough and she's just ravenous, that really speaks directly to how conservative Republicans view women today. Okay? That's absolutely true. So let me play a few other clips and then I'm going to get to the phone lines here in a second. And this clip actually comes from Governor Corbett in Pennsylvania, because they also adopted another law just as though Governor McDonald did in Virginia, the ultrasound rule, the mandatory ultrasound rule, which in many other states criminalizes the doctor. If the doctor doesn't do that, according to Big Brother government, the doctor can face fines up to hundreds of thousands of dollars and actually serve prison sentences by not actually going along with that. And I'll tell you, to all you conservative legislators out there who put that law into place, you're lucky I'm not an OBGYN doctor, because I would tell you to go screw yourself, because I would never, ever, ever comply with a law like that, ever. Okay? And if it meant getting arrested, if it meant going to jail to bring to light to the national consciousness such an unjust and immoral law, then so be it. Sometimes that's what you have to do in this country. And I would hope that some of my fellow physicians who are in that line of work will conscientiously object and not follow those laws by any means, because they are, to me, they are not constitutional laws at all. But this is Governor Corbett, and this is what he said, Eric. This was his solution for the mandatory ultrasound law.
I apologize if you've already said publicly, where do you stand on that ultrasound bill that seems to kind of stir things up in the House?
Well, I mean, we made a statement during the campaign. I wouldn't change it as long as it's not obtrusive. But we're still waiting to see.
I mean, making them watch and speaking, does that go too far in your mind?
I don't know how you make anybody watch, okay, because you just have to close your eyes. But as long as it's on exterior, not interior, okay?
Look at that. That's nice, right, Eric? So first of all,
close your eyes.
Close your eyes. Turn your head. You don't even have to watch, which is actually a lie. Because,
so what's the point of it?
Right. What's the point? If they can close their eyes and they don't have to watch it, you know, why not just walk out of the room then?
Right. Why not even show up in the first place?
Right. You know, you could do the ultrasound, put it on tape delay, and then I'll walk out of the room, and then you can play it without me in there. But see, again, it's so demeaning to this guy, this Governor Corbett of Pennsylvania, another Republican governor. See, this is what I'm telling you. These are Republicans, Eric, in positions of great power. When you are the governor of a state, you are the executive officer, the CEO of that entire state, and you have incredible power over the people. And for that governor to just capriciously and whimsically, turn your head. What's the big deal? You know, it's no big deal. You don't got to listen to it. It's not obtrusive. I mean, that's not even the word I think he was looking. It was supposed to be intrusive, you know,
right.
invasive. It's not obtrusive. I think he used the wrong word. But in any case, he's like, as long as it's not invasive, as long as we're not using a transvaginal, as long as we're not penetrating the vagina with
it's
an ultrasound
totally
device,
okay.
It's okay then. You know, that doesn't matter. Then we can force you to do things against your will, as long as we're not invading your body. And of course, you know, Representative Akin has come up with a legitimate invasion of the body versus a forcible invasion of the body. So this is just absolutely stunning that this is what the Republican Party stands for. I've showed you Representative Akin thus far. I've showed you Governor Corbett. You've heard from him. I got one from Governor McConnell of Virginia. Another one, Rush Limbaugh, who speaks to 10, 20 million people as a conservative commentator, calling women sluts who want, you know, contraception. I got a lot more for you. In the next 2 hours, I don't even know if I have enough time to share with you all of these things coming from Republican leaders across this country. Stay with us 57 minutes after the hour. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
You're listening to Tom Hartman. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Okay, welcome back. 6 minutes currently after the hour. Dr. Mike Newcomb sitting in for Tom Hartman. This is the Tom Hartman Program, my friends, and the Freedom Lines are now going to be opened up at 1-866-987-TOM, T-H-O-M. That's 1-866-987-8466. Today, I'm doing something perhaps a little bit off the beaten path with respect to talk radio. This entire three-hour program today, I am dedicating to the women of the United States of America, because right now, as we speak, with such a crucial election, just literally, you know, less than around 80 days or so away in November, you have a party, the Republican Party here in this country, attacking women's individual liberties, attacking women's individual freedoms, attacking women's right to privacy and a woman's right to have a private relationship with their doctor to discuss their medical issues. I mean, every step along the way, even looking at income, you know, women earn 70 cents on the dollar versus their male counterparts in similar positions of work. So this all came to a head with Representative Todd Akin and his ridiculous comment about legitimate rape, quote unquote, and that the human female body will shut down the actual sperm from penetrating the egg and fertilizing it if it is a legitimate rape, okay?
Well, you know what he's saying now? Now he's saying that everybody's overreacting to his remarks. That's like adding insult to injury.
No, absolutely. And then he tried to correct himself and say, look, I didn't really mean legitimate rape. I meant forcible rape versus, all right, so that makes a difference. Like, so there's like non-forcible rape?
Yeah, I've never heard of non-forcible,
you know,
rape.
Like the rapist comes in and puts on some nice soothing music, some candlelight. And
buys you dinner.
Yeah, buys you dinner. I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, rape is rape. It's an act of violence. It's an act of invasion. And it's something that has no role whatsoever in our society, and that any woman who is the unfortunate victim of a rape should never, ever have to carry a pregnancy to term if that unfortunately happened. Never. But now, as I told you during the first hour, the Republican Party, as part of its platform, that they're going to be at the National Convention in Tampa, Florida, where they officially nominate Mitt Romney and Paul Ryan, two people who are on record and at the top of the ticket who are on record saying that they would gladly sign bills that would not allow rape in any circumstance, including incest or rape. Is this who you want at the top of the ticket? Is this who you want basically controlling America and the laws of this country? Think about that. I mean, if you want to talk about dictatorship, you want to talk about an evil big brother government, if you want to talk about George Orwell, 1984, then guess what? You don't need to go to the bookstore to get that a copy of that book. All you need to do is attend the Republican National Convention in Tampa, Florida, in these upcoming few weeks, and you will see 1984 laid bare right before your eyes. You're going to see it on the national TV airwaves. There's no question in my mind. So I want to get to more of this audio here, but I do want to get a few callers first because people have been very patient. So let me go first to David. He's calling from Humboldt, California, and affiliate KGOE. David, welcome to the program.
Well, Dr. Mike, this is actually a voice out of your past. Elderly Alice and I used to listen to you and Tom years ago.
I recognize your voice.
Yeah, well, she didn't quite make it to 100, but she remained sharp and alert right till the end. And I so much appreciate your own thinking on this subject.
I myself
feel that the Republicans feel they can afford to ignore a voting bloc as large as the Republicans. Incidentally, I'm also Bertrand Russell on the Tom Hartman chat room, but that they feel that how the people vote really doesn't seem to matter. How can they do that? How can they, are they relying on the vote of the rich, greedy, racist, white male to be who's what's going to put them in? Or do they feel they have some gimmick going for them? And that's what I'm concluding. I do believe that they are of the belief that how people vote doesn't really matter. They've got their way around that. They've got their own tricks and gimmicks.
Well, it's called Citizens United. It's called unlimited funds that they can funnel into their big propaganda machines, and they're hopeful that there is a segment of society in America, and unfortunately and sadly there is a substantial segment of our society that is subject, that is easily influenced by that type of propaganda. And it's sad because you would think in today's environment with the internet, with access to real information, that we would actually be advancing as a society and that absolute truth would be literally at our fingertips. But on the contrary, you know, there's always evil in society and there's always people willing to usurp their power and their money and their finances to dupe the masses. And unfortunately, there are at least close to 50% of the people in this country, David, who are being duped and are subject to this type of propaganda. And that's why you have people like Tom Hartman, who's a nationally syndicated host, who's out there every day speaking truth to power. We do it locally here on 1480 KPHX. We're trying to fight the fight, but we need our fellow brothers and our fellow sisters to get out there, get out in the streets, get out and organize, get out there in the voting booths, and let people know that, look, we're mad as hell, and we're not going to take it anymore. Hey, David, I got other callers here, but I appreciate hearing a blast for the past. Thank you for calling in today.
Thank you, Dr. Mike.
Thank you. All right, that's David. I want to go to this line here. This is Kendra, who's actually calling in from Des Moines, Iowa. She just called in, and she apparently had an abortion herself in March, as well as a transvaginal ultrasound. So I'd like to get Kendra's perspective on things. Kendra, welcome to the table here.
Am I on?
Yes, Kendra, you're live
on the
air.
Yeah, no, actually, it was in February, and I wasn't raped. I'm 23 years old, and I was not ready to have a child. And they told me, I went to Planned Parenthood to have it, and they told me that in order to tell at what stage it was at, that I had to have the transvaginal ultrasound. So I guess I'm confused on how now it's considered not medically necessary.
Yeah, well, look,
I feel like
first,
I was duped.
Look, first and foremost, you don't necessarily need to have ultrasounds, depending on, you know, how far along you are from the last, you know, your missed period. So, I mean, the fact that they're mandating these ultrasounds, you know, for all women who want to terminate a pregnancy is absolutely ridiculous, Kendra. It's expensive and it's just not right. I mean, if you go and meet with your doctor,
absolutely,
Kendra,
yeah,
you have the right as a woman to make your own personal decision with what information the doctor shares for you, and then it's up to you to decide. But you see, what they want to do is they want to say, oh, well, we want to make sure that the woman knows all of her options. And I find that so condescending to you as a woman, Kendra, as though you can't make your own intelligent decisions. I mean, with the internet that I just alluded to earlier, Kendra, you could easily Google abortion or termination of pregnancy, and you can educate yourself, irrespective of a doctor, about everything that you ever wanted to know about an abortion, its safety, you know, complications, efficacy, anything. And then you can go to your doctor, armed with that information, and say, hey, doc, this is what I researched. What do you think? Have a private discussion, and then you and your doctor make that decision. But on the contrary, Kendra, they treat you as though you're an imbecile, as though that you have no brain and that you can't figure out on your own accord what to do. So in other words, government has to tell Kendra how to think. I mean, don't you find that offensive as a woman?
Oh, absolutely. You should have seen the video they made me watch.
What did they make you watch?
This video about all these different girls going in and the decision that they had to make. And it's, you know, I had obviously made up my mind prior to coming to Planned Parenthood. That was the reason for my visit.
Wow. So it was a propaganda video. It had nothing to do with the actual procedure per se.
No, absolutely not. It was just a, here, watch this, and if you change your mind, you have time.
That's despicable. Like, well, listen.
Well,
all right, Kendra, thank you for calling today. We got to run, so I appreciate your forthrightness and honesty. That's Kendra calling from Des Moines, Iowa. We'll be back with more of the Tom Hartman program in a moment. Stay with us.
This is the Tom Hartman program.
Okay, welcome back. 20 minutes currently after the hour. You're listening to the Tom Hartman program. Dr. Mike Newcomb sitting in for today. And we're going to get to these freedom lines in a second. But, Eric, I want to play this clip. This is a clip that you and I played on our local program here not too long ago. But do you remember the clip with the Oklahoma doctor where the young woman went into the emergency room and she was raped? And the physician, obviously a Republican Christian physician, refused to treat this woman.
Right, I do remember that.
I mean, I could not believe this. I could not believe that a colleague of mine, a fellow physician, where someone comes in with one of the worst, probably the worst experience you could ever have in your life, being raped, and we have medication that you can give someone right there that would prevent the actual
pregnancy,
okay? And this...
And he wouldn't do it.
They would not do it. And they were smart. This physician, she was smug about it. She was an absolute jerk about it. And see, this is because when you have people like Todd Akin, and he's running for Senate and he's a representative, and you have people like Rush Limbaugh calling people sluts, and you have people like Governor Corbett from Pennsylvania and Governor McDonnell from Virginia saying that women have to undergo, you know, ultrasounds, either transvaginal or, you know, just transabdominal ultrasounds. This is what happens, and then you have people on the front lines of our healthcare system hearing all of this and saying, you know what, if my elected officials, if, you know, people in the public limelight, if that's how they feel, then I, as a doctor, I'm going to go out there and I'm going to discriminate against these people as well. So just listen to this piece here, and then after that, we'll open it up to the freedom lines here.
So tonight, a Metro mom is outraged.
She says her daughter was raped over the weekend, and then the doctor refused to help treat her. News 9 crime tracker Adriana Yashinsky has tonight's top story.
Well, it's hard to imagine being turned away for a rape exam, but it turns out the nurses who specialize in those exams rotate every month to different hospitals around the metro. However, that's not what this mom is angry about.
Oh, shocked that they wouldn't provide treatment to a rape victim.
For Rhonda and her daughter, this weekend has been hell.
Her attitude was so condescending. It was like she was treating my daughter like she had done something wrong.
Rhonda says her 24-year-old daughter was raped at this Oklahoma City apartment complex early Sunday morning. She drove her to the nearest hospital, which turned out to be the Canadian Valley Hospital in Yukon.
She really just wanted to be treated and go home.
But Rhonda says the doctor who came in and saw them refused to do any sort of exam or to provide them with any emergency contraception.
My daughter said, is it you that won't give them to me? Do you have them here and you just won't give them to me? And she said, that's right. I will not give you emergency contraceptives because it goes against my beliefs.
Even though she had been advised that your daughter had just been raped?
Yes, absolutely. She knew my daughter had just been raped.
Rhonda says at no time did this doctor offer to get another doctor at Canadian Valley Hospital to see them or to help her daughter.
her attitude was so judgmental, and I felt like she was just judging my daughter.
Rhonda and her daughter did end up going to Integris Baptist Medical Center in Oklahoma City, where they did receive a rape exam and were treated much better.
She was treated so well there. The staff, the doctors, the sane examiners, they were just so wonderful to her, and she stopped feeling like she was at fault.
Now, Rhonda says she was advised by the staff at Integris Baptist Medical Center to file a complaint on that doctor so that it can be investigated and addressed. Amanda?
All right, Adriana, and Integris did send us a response saying in part that the personnel at Canadian Valley wanted to ensure that the patient was examined and treated appropriately for rape and confirmed that a specifically trained nurse, sexual assault nurse examiner, was on call and available at Integris Baptist Medical Center. They also tell us they will investigate the complaint against the doctor.
Yeah, so the absolutely despicable, despicable behavior on behalf of that doctor.
So let me get this straight. So if it's against the doctor's belief, who is obviously a Christian, right?
Correct.
So now they can stop treating Muslims and people of other faiths because that's not in
right.
their beliefs.
No, absolutely. And this is the whole point, is that they want it to become a theocracy, and then they can pretty much decide how they're going to treat patients in the medical world based off of their own personal religious beliefs. And that,
so from now on, only she will only treat Christians.
Right, exactly. Or Christians who actually believe the way she believes. Now, see, a doctor like that, when someone comes in with a rape like that and refuses to treat this patient and is judgmental and has got this cocky little attitude about her, I think she should be sanctioned by the board. I mean, she should at least have her license suspended. But good luck in Oklahoma. I mean, Oklahoma is about as red a state as it gets out there. If you look at the actual poll numbers right now between Obama and Romney in Oklahoma, you know, it's completely red. And this is what happens when you have Republicans in power and an overwhelming majority. They start treating people who are raped. I mean, did you hear what the poor mother said? That the girl felt guilty, like as though it was her fault, and that the doctor was so judgmental. And that's how they want you to feel. They want you to feel as a rape victim that it's your fault, that you're the slut who basically went out there and invited, you know, this rapist to do such a thing, okay? And then to say that, guess what? The body's got a way of shutting that down so that you don't get pregnant. But, oh, guess what? If you got pregnant, you know what that means? You must have wanted it. Because if the body's natural defense mechanism didn't kick in
right.
to stop that pregnancy from occurring, then that can only mean one thing, that you want it.
That's very twisted thinking. Hey, breaking news. Yeah. Romney's calling for Aiken to withdraw.
Yeah, you know why? But he's not calling him to withdraw because he disagrees with him.
No, because he screwed
knows,
things up.
He knows that basically right now this is where the spotlight is on this campaign, and that Todd
right.
Aiken...
Sweep it under the carpet.
Right. He exposed the ugly cancer that is called the Republican Party's hatred for women, and now it's going viral. And now women are starting to wake up too. Independent women, moderate Republican women. You know, women are now starting to say, oh my God, this is what the Republican Party stands for. This is why I'm playing you these clips from the people themselves, from governors, from radio commentators, from doctors in emergency room in Oklahoma denying a rape victim coverage and treatment, making the patient feel guilty as though it was her fault, demeaning this person, but making her feel small and unworthy. Unbelievable what's happening. 27 minutes after the hour, this is Dr. Mike Newcomb sitting in for Tom Hartman. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 866-987-THOM.
Okay, welcome back. 34 minutes after the hour. Dr. Mike Newcomb sitting in here today for Tom Hartman. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. We're halfway through here, and as I said at the outset, I have dedicated this entire program to the women of not only this country but of the world, because I'm sick and tired of seeing men in positions of power dictating what women can or can do with their own bodies, within their own doctor's appointments in the privacy of their own homes, when it comes to economic issues, voting issues. I mean, I'm just sick and tired of the Republican Party's constant attack and assault on women's individual liberties and freedoms and their demeaning of women. And it's reared its ugly head once again in this presidential election. And now, as Eric had said, there's some breaking news that Mitt Romney, who is at the top of the ticket of the Republican Party and now sees, you know, his delusions, his grand delusions of wanting to become the president of the United States of America slip away through his fingers because of what happened with Representative Todd Akin, now calling for Todd Akin to step down and no longer be in the race. But, you know, that's a selfish thing on his part, Eric. He's only doing that
because it makes him look bad.
It makes him look bad, and he knows that this is going to hurt downstream.
Can't you just keep your mouth shut, tell him I'm president?
Right. Exactly. So this is the only reason that Mitt Romney's doing this. And Mitt Romney, quite frankly, is on record, Eric, saying that he would sign a bill that would outlaw abortion in all cases, including rape and incest, as is his counterpart, Paul Ryan. So make no mistake about it. They are on record. They're on the same page. But because of his own personal political ambitions, he's willing to sell his soul to the devil and flip-flop on positions left and right like he's done throughout the entire last 5 years that he's been campaigning for this office of the presidency. So let's get back to the Freedom Lines right now, and the phone lines are packed. Let me see. I want to go first, I think, to – let's go to Liz. No, I think I got somebody queued up right now. I got Sandra. Sandra's on the line from Fleming, Ohio. Sandra, welcome to the table.
Yes, I love your show. And I do agree with you wholeheartedly. This is something that really needs to be brought out and discussed and resolved. But I've been watching a good part of the day, C-SPAN 2, and the Republican National Convention platform has been on. And they are all being very civil, very orderly, very businesslike, dotting all their T's, dotting all their I's, whatever. They're making their amendments, and they sound like the human beings that we do not hear on the floor of the House.
Right, right.
And to me, it's like they have thrown us a distraction.
Yeah, well, they can do all the distractions.
Has the power to bring one of these blue-collar jobs back from overseas. This is keeping our mind off of that. All of the networks, the media, all of them has been going over this, and it'll be on every hour, on every news media show. And I just kind of feel like they're playing us for a fool. They've got us chasing our tail, and they know we'll never catch it.
In what sense?
Pardon?
In what sense? I'm not sure what you're getting at.
Distraction. From some, the jobs and everything. Like I said, I agree. I've been, you know, this is shocking and I've been watching it and I agree with you. Mm-hmm. But people are wondering also about the jobs and everything. This, everybody's talking about this and nothing else.
No, I hear you. Well, listen. No, I understand. Listen, I definitely appreciate what you're saying there, but I kind of disagree with you because I think this is important, and that's why I am dedicating this entire show to the women of this country and the women of the world, because it is an important issue. Jobs are important. Make no mistake about it, Sandra. Jobs are important. But it doesn't matter what the jobs are if you as an individual, you as a woman, are being discriminated against in society. What good is it if you have a job, but you have a federal government and a state government telling you that you have to have certain ultrasound wands inserted into your vagina against your will and against your doctor's wishes, and that if you don't do that, you're going to be prosecuted as a criminal? What good is that if you are a woman and you're getting 70 cents on the dollar versus a male counterpart in a similar job in a similar position? Is that the kind of job that you want to have? I would think not. I mean, this is not a sideshow. This is not a distraction. This is a very, very serious issue, and it's something to me that reflects who the Republican Party is today. It reflects their value system. It reflects their ideology, and it reflects, quite frankly, the way that they would govern if they had control over all the levers of power. So if you want a job, and that's the most important thing to you, but you don't want your freedom and liberty as a woman, then that's your choice. But to me, a job is meaningless if you don't have individual liberty and if you don't have individual freedom. And if you have an obtrusive, invasive, government dictating to you what you can or cannot do with your life, with your body, with your own person, then guess what? Then that's not what the Founding Fathers had envisioned. Let's get back to some of the other callers. Let's go next to Liz. Liz has been on the line right now. She's in West Hollywood, California, works in social services. Liz, welcome.
Hi. Yes, I guess I have a little different perspective than most people. I was going to be a social worker and save the world. Well, let me tell you, the world does not want to be saved. But I saw that not everybody treats their children like middle-class people generally treat their children. And then I went to work in the court system, and one of the biggest and most shocking things was all these – the reason that a lot of women go on welfare is because the father, whether he was the husband or a partner, doesn't pay the child support for the child. And
right.
So I think there should be some – if they want to make consequences for women, then there should be some consequences for men. Any man
I am 100%
child support.
I'm 100% in your court in this. Look, as a man, I feel as though if you are going to engage in consensual sex with someone – because, I mean, now we're talking about consensual sex, right? Or are you talking
yes.
about
– Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah,
that's also a part of it, that rape – I mean, if you're raped, I mean – why should you be forced to carry that child?
No, you shouldn't. That's what I'm saying. But let's forget about the rape issue for now. Let's talk about sort of the abortion issue. I mean, I think, quite frankly, a lot of women ultimately decide to terminate pregnancy because oftentimes they do feel alone. They do feel as though, guess what? I thought there was two people in this partnership. I thought this man loved me. I thought that he was going to provide for this child. I thought he was going to be a father to this child. And oftentimes I have to say I'm disgusted by my fellow men that they hightail out of there. They take no personal responsibility. They take no financial responsibility. They take no moral responsibility. And shame. Shame on the men of this country who do that to a woman. I think if more men actually acted like, in, quote unquote, in my mind's eye, a real man and assumed the responsibility and took responsibility for those actions, I think a lot of women wouldn't feel that they were in such a vulnerable position. And I think you'd have less termination of pregnancies if men took their part. I think that's what you're alluding
to. Well, true. And if people took care of children. Actually, you know, as a Christian, I wouldn't believe in abortion if every single child that's in foster care placement, every drug baby, every AIDS baby, every severely retarded, every physically disabled child is placed in a good Christian home. But people talk out of both sides of their mouth. They want to tell you what to do and how to live your life, and they don't want to come step up to the plate. If
but
you really
is,
don't
but that's
need
just...
an abortion, then you should take in a foster
right.
child or a disabled child, you know,
no,
or
I agree.
Even a mentally ill child, whatever.
I agree.
It's just wrong. And somebody like Rush Limbaugh, who has a big mouth, has to go to Costa Rica to pay for sex. So what can you expect out of a man like that?
No, I agree. Listen, Liz, I got to get to the other calls. I appreciate your time.
Okay.
Thank you. All right. But Liz, makes a lot of sense because, that, again, that's the fundamental difference here is that you have conservatives who say they're pro-life, and they're not really pro-life. What a conservative is, it's pro-birth. Okay? They're pro-birth. Once the baby's born, they don't really care, honestly.
Right, because they expect the rapist to pay child support.
Right, exactly.
Like, that's going to happen.
Like, that's going to happen, right? But that's the truth, Eric. They're just pro-birth, because as the caller was talking about, she mentioned the fact that you have so many unwanted children here who are not getting the love or care or a home that they can thrive and flourish in and have love and have compassion and tenderness. And Republicans want nothing to do with that. They consider that what? Social welfare. That's well, we're not going to pay for the kid who's, you know, got spina bifida or somebody who's got a developmental disorder or this or that. That's not our problem. That's the family's problem. Long as the kid came out of the womb, that's all they care. And they want to afford more rights now to a fertilized egg than they do the disabled kid, than they do the kid with disabilities, than they do the kid who's in a foster home and doesn't have biological parents and is looking for a home to be nurtured in and to be coddled and loved. No, they don't care about that. They care more about amending the United States Constitution to give an egg and a sperm personhood, actual legal status of personhood. And this is who you want at the top of the ticket? You want Mitt Romney and Paul Ryan, people who have minions of followers who believe such crap to be running this country? Make no mistake about it. Make no mistake about it. Mitt Romney today telling Todd Akin to step down has nothing to do with him disagreeing with Todd Akin. Nothing at all. The only reason he's doing this, he sees the tsunami now. He sees the tidal wave. He sees it sweeping across the nation right now, and people's heightened consciousness are now being activated. People are now saying, wow, I never knew they were that radical. Wow, I never knew that the Republican Party and conservatives were that crazy. I never knew that the Republican Party would say that if, you know, my daughter was raped violently and beaten up to a pulp and almost lost her life, that if she got pregnant as a result of that, that my daughter would have to legally have that baby. A lot of eyes are being opened right now. A lot of eyes are being opened. This is the Tom Hartman Program. Stay with us.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Visit TomHartman.com for audio and video archives.
Okay, welcome back. 50 minutes after the hour. We're going to get to the Freedom Lines here in a second, but I want to continue to play the audio that I've compiled for you today as we're dedicating this entire program today to the women of the world, the women of this country, as they suffer through a relentless full frontal assault attack on their individual liberties and freedoms being conducted by none other than the Republican Party here in the United States of America and their minions of conservative fanatics and radicals. So before I get to the Freedom Lines, Eric, I'm going to play this. This is Sharon Engel. Remember her? Another one who was seeking higher office.
Vegas, right?
In Nevada. She was going up against Senator Harry Reid. And this was, you know, this is, again, someone who believes that if you're raped, if your, you know, father rapes you, if it's incest, if it's just a brutal rape from someone you don't know, and you get pregnant as a result of that, guess what? You still got to have the baby, no matter what. So let's listen to what she has.
If I remember, this is a good one.
No, this is a good one, too.
Question to you at the time by the interviewer was, you want government to go and tell a 13-year-old child who's been raped by her father that she has to have that baby? And, of course, you respond, I didn't say that. I always say that I value life. Where do you stand on the issue of abortion, a consensual abortion from a person who is raped or as pregnant as a result of incest?
Well, right now our law permits that. My own personal feelings, and that is always what I express, is my personal feeling is that we need to err on the side of life. There is a plan and a purpose and a value to every life, no matter what its location, age, gender, or disability. And so whenever we talk about government and government's role is to protect life, and that's what our founding fathers said, that we have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
I'm going to stop that for 1 second here, because this always gets me. They say, oh, that's what our founding fathers said. We have a right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Well, what about the liberty and the pursuit of happiness part of that? So in other words, if a woman is violated against her will, against her own liberty, against her own freedom, her liberty has been taken, her freedom has been taken, her happiness has been taken, for all intents and purposes, her life has been taken too, because now she has a child, you know, that is in the womb as we speak. So it's no longer just her life. She's now responsible for someone else's life, and she didn't ask to be responsible for that life. So I love how they always talk about life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, but they never really...
But the mother lost all of that.
But the mother loses all of that, and then yet this blastocyst, you know, which is, you know, 100 cells at this point, and is not a life form by any stretch of the imagination, takes precedence over the actual real life that is the mother or the woman that we speak of. I mean, they never, ever talk about that.
I mean, what do you say then to a young girl? I mean, I'm going to place it as he said it, though. I mean, when, you know, a young girl is raped by her father, let's say, and she is pregnant. I mean, how do you explain this to her in terms of wanting her to go through the process of having the baby?
I think that two wrongs don't make a right. And I have been in the situation of counseling young girls, not 13, but 15, who have had very at-risk, difficult pregnancies. And my counsel was to look for some alternatives, which they did. And they found that they had made what was really a lemon situation into lemonade.
All right. So so there you have
it. Wow.
That's nice. You've been raped by your father. Okay. You're now pregnant by your father. And you just basically, Eric, turn lemon into lemonade. It's very, they make it sound so easy.
Oh, yeah. I mean, just add a little sugar and some water.
Right. I mean, so the little girl can go outside her house and put, you know, the little table. Yeah. And then, well, oh, what are you raising money for? Oh, my dad just knocked me up. Yeah. So I'm just trying to get a college fund going for, you know, the baby.
For my unborn baby, yeah.
For my unborn baby that my father just knocked me up. And, Sharon Engel, she's a real good Christian, and she told me, guess what? I'm just going to make lemonade out of this lemon. I mean,
if my daughter was knocked up by a rapist, of course not by me because I would never do that, but if she was, I surely wouldn't want her to be counseled by Sharon Engel.
No, by any means. And look, I got another clip here too, Rick Santorum. I mean, see, this is what I'm telling you, Eric. These are leaders in the Republican Party. These are either elected officials, House of Representatives, Paul Ryan, Todd Akin. They're senators, okay? You have he's a senator wannabe. Sharon Engel was vying for the Senate seat in Nevada. You got governors, Governor Corbett. You have Governor McDonald. I mean, these are people who are elected by the base of the Republican Party, and they're speaking their language. They're speaking exactly what the Republican base wants to hear. Otherwise, they wouldn't get elected, Eric. I mean, the bottom line is, in the primaries, they wouldn't get elected. They're losing a lot of these people, fortunately, do lose in the general election, because once the word gets out how kooky and radical they really are, then for all intents and purposes, there are pockets of America that are sane and rational and can think intelligently. But there are pockets that, quite frankly, don't. You know, places like Oklahoma,
right.
You know, where the Bible Belt. You're not going to get that kind of rationality. But in any case, this is why it's so important for you to hear this. Here, let me just do this Rick Santorum thing real fast. This was Rick Santorum talking about if his own daughter was raped. Okay, let's go to the tape.
On abortion, you did harden your position on that as you got older.
Well,
why was that?
Well, life. You know, when I decided to run for public life, I was informed very quickly people wanted to know what my position on that was. So I actually went through the process of trying to better understand the facts. It became very clear to me that life begins at conception and persons are covered by the Constitution. And since life is a human life is the same as a person. To me, it was a pretty simple deduction to make that that's what the Constitution clearly intended to protect.
Do you really believe in every case it should be totally wrong? In the sense that I know that you believe even in cases of rape and incest, but you know, you've got two daughters. If you had a daughter that came to you who'd been raped and was pregnant and was begging you to let her have an abortion, would you really better look her in the eye and say no as her father?
I would.
All right, let's hold it right there. When we get back at the top of the hour, I'll finish this clip up with former senator and former presidential nominee for the Republican Party, Rick Santorum, who said, in essence, that, he if his daughter was raped, sure, she needs to have the baby. Stay with us.
Listening to Tom Hartman. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Okay, welcome back. 6 minutes after the hour, hour number three here. Dr. Mike Newcomb sitting in for Tom Hartman. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. And if you're just tuning in, I've dedicated this program today, the entire 3 hours, to the plight of women in this country as they continue to be assaulted, not only in real life, physically via rapes, forcible rapes, legitimate rapes, quote unquote, but also being assaulted with respect to their individual liberties and freedoms by the Republican Party as well as conservative ideologues. So that's what we're talking about today. We appreciate everybody taking time out of their day to listen to the program as well as calling in to the Freedom Lines. And that number, in case I haven't given it out in a while, is 1-866-987-TOM, T-H-O-M. Again, that's 1-866-987-8466. And you can check us out here locally on our website, Eric, www.1480kphx.com.
And from there, click on our Facebook like button.
Right.
Make sure you like us.
All righty.
Many times. I
got a few emails I'm going to try to read during this next hour, and you can email me, mike@mikenewcomb.net. But before we do that, Eric, let's finish up with Rick Santorum. He was talking to Piers Morgan and whether or not Rick Santorum, if his daughter was raped, you know, what would he do in such a predicament?
Would do what every father would do, is to try to counsel your daughter to do the right thing.
It's almost impossibly hypothetical thing to ask you, but there will be people in that position
who may share
your religious values.
It's not a matter of religious values.
And they're looking at their daughter saying, how can I deal with this? Because if I make her have this baby, isn't it just going to ruin her life?
Well, you can make the argument that if she doesn't have this baby, if she kills her child, that too could ruin her life. And
I just resent the way that he says if she kills her child. That's not her child.
She didn't ask for it.
She didn't ask for that child. She didn't ask to be raped.
And it's the rapist child.
Right. It's the rapist child, if you want to make any claim to that effect. But for him to say if she kills her child. See, again, where does the concept, they have this warped concept of what freedom and liberty is about. That's not freedom and it's not liberty if you actually force that onto somebody. If they do not consent to having sex, then that's not her child and she's not killing her child, okay? This is why I guess they were all for slavery back in the day, because they figured, you know, you could put somebody in shackles, put them in chains, and guess what? It was your property. See, they objectify the woman as though she's just a receptacle. She's just somebody who's got a uterus that can happen to pump out a baby. So if somehow or another any sperm finds a way of getting in there, even if it's against your will, then it's de facto your child. No questions asked. And that is so wrong on so many levels. But it is a view that is so embraced by the Republican Party and conservative thought that it's despicable. It's despicable.
And there's a question, maybe I've heard it once in a while, but it's a very rare question that's asked to these people. What if your wife was raped?
Right.
You know, I mean, what would you do? You going to raise that baby?
Right, exactly. You know, exactly. Does the rapist get visitation rights, you know, to the kid when the rapist is serving 20 years in prison? Because it's the rapist kid too, isn't it?
Yeah,
doesn't the rapist have
absolutely.
Rights as a father?
Right, absolutely.
I mean, honest to God, I know we're going off on a tangent here and being a little bit, you know, facetious about this, but if they're going to say that child is the mother's child, right, that even though she didn't want to be raped and she's now carrying the child, does that mean that the rapist is the father and that the rapist has paternal rights?
Well, I guess he could sign his rights over.
No, but say he doesn't want to. He wants to say, that's my child. I know I raped her. I know I broke the law, but it's my child. And by, you know, I want to have a say in the raising
right.
of that
just
child.
Right, just because he went to prison for it, does that terminate his rights?
As a father, because if they're saying that the woman has to have the child and it's her child, then it takes two to tango.
Right.
So he should have equal rights.
It must be his child if it's her child.
I would love to hear what they have to say about that, conservatives. That does that rapist have now equal rights as the father?
Well, you know they're going to say no.
Why not? But if you're saying the mother...
Oh, I agree with you. I agree 100%.
If the mother has to assume all the responsibilities of being a parent, then the
they're
father...
They're going to say because he committed a crime. But it's you know, same thing.
This is not an easy choice. I understand that. As horrible as the way that daughter and son was created, it still is her child. And
it's not!
Whether she has that child or she doesn't, it will always be her child, and she will always know that. And so to embrace her and to love her and to support her and get her through this very difficult time, I've always, you know, I believe and I think, you know, the right approach is to accept this horribly created in the sense of rape, but nevertheless gift.
Gift. It's a gift now, Eric. You know, one Sharon
Being
Engel.
Raped is a gift.
Yeah. In one case it was lemonade, and now it's a gift. I mean, can you believe how insane these people are? the most brutal crime that a woman can face, to be raped, and you're hearing things about it's a gift, it's lemonade, you know, let's make the best of it. I mean, unbelievable. And these are compassionate conservatives. I'd hate to see what the vindictive conservatives are like if these are the compassionate conservatives saying that rape is a gift and it's lemonade.
And in a very broken way, the gift of human life, and accept what God has given to you. As you know, we have to.
What God has given to you. This has been decreed by God. This, look,
God made this rapist rape you.
If you really believe in a God, and that's a whole other topic for another day.
Yeah, don't get me started on that.
But if you believe that there's a God sitting up in some, you know, heavenly skies with a white beard and a staff sitting on a throne and a cloud saying, you know, hey, I got a plan for that, give me my Google map. Where's my Google Earth? Yeah, all right. Put a little thumbtack right down there in Oklahoma. And there's that little girl there who's in that apartment complex in Oklahoma. I'm going to have that guy over here, that drug addict guy who's a kind of jonesing right now for some methamphetamine. I'm going to have him go into her apartment and rape her. Yeah. Hey, Jesus, Holy Spirit, what do you think about that? Do you think that sounds like a good plan? It's a little slow today. Not much to do, not much on the agenda. I checked the schedule, not much happening. What do you think about that guy, that drug addict, raping that girl, and then that girl going, hey, I got a good one. Hey, Jesus, what do you think about this? Let's have her go to the emergency room in Oklahoma, and let's have one of our fellow Christian doctors refuse to give her emergency contraception. What do you think about that?
That's a great plan, God.
Hey, you know, Holy Spirit, are you down with this? Are you down with that as well?
Oh, I'm with it too.
Hey, all right. Do I have all in favor?
Eyes.
Aye. All right. The eyes got it. All right. She's going to be raped today. That's my plan, and it's a gift. We'll send a little bow with it. Well, a little gift wrap too. I mean, this is how.
We'll send her some lemonade.
Right, and a little lemonade to boot. This is how sick these people are to say that a rape is somehow a gift from God. That is not a gift from God. And if there is a God like that out there who planned that rape, who planned the refusal of that woman getting emergency contraception, I want nothing to do with that God. Nothing at all, Rick Santorum and all of you fanatics out there. But see, my God is not like that. My God would never hatch such a sinister plan. The God that I believe in would never fathom doing something so evil. Maybe Satan would do that, Rick Santorum. Maybe Satan would hatch that plan. Maybe Beelzebub or whatever his name is, Lucifer.
Mephistopheles.
Maybe those people would hatch such a plan. But not a loving, caring, compassionate God. No God worth his weight in gold would ever, ever conceive of such a sinister, evil plan to be perpetuated on a young, innocent woman. Disgusting. Absolutely disgusting. And it's time that the American people wake up. 15 minutes after the hour, back with your calls on the Freedom Line. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. I'm Dr. Mike Newcomb sitting in.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Okay, welcome back. 20 minutes after the hour, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. I'm Dr. Mike Newcomb sitting in right now as we speak. Let's get to the Freedom Lines. First up is Margie on the line from Memphis, Tennessee. Margie, welcome to the program.
Hi. Weren't the Republicans the ones that want to repeal Obamacare because it's a government takeover of health care? But they
Correct.
Want to take over the health care of over half the population?
Yeah, they basically want to control your uterus and your vagina, and you have no say in it.
Now, I would like to expand the conversation a little bit of what this personhood amendment actually means beyond birth control, beyond in vitro fertilization. Mm-hmm. Over the weekend, there was a report from the Dominican Republic of a girl who was 9 weeks pregnant who died because she was denied chemotherapy because it could cause a miscarriage. That will be coming to the United States, where we will be denied health care if it could risk the baby. Now, smoking causes birth defects. Well, a woman could be pregnant for a few weeks before knowing that she's pregnant. So, well, guess what? Any woman of childbearing years will be, it'll be illegal for them to smoke. Same with drinking. This is about completely controlling all women.
Hey, Margie, it's, you know, what you're saying is not so far-fetched, and it is absolutely frightening to me. I mean, could you imagine, look, women miscarry all the time. So if you are now pregnant and you happen to miscarry under the Republican plan, you would literally have the Gestapo. You'd have the police coming to your house investigating you for potential murder. I mean, basically, okay, well, what happened? You know, how pregnant were you? Where, like you said, were you drinking?
Were you smoking? Eating?
What did you eat? What kind of environmental exposures were you? Did you fall? Did you do anything on your own? I mean, literally, if you're going to give that fetus, or if you're going to just give the fertilized egg, the personhood, they could prosecute you for murder for a simple miscarriage.
Being denied employment? Because if you're pregnant and it's a danger, well, obviously you can't do that job if it could potentially hurt a baby.
Or, on the contrary, I would argue for more pay. You're doing the work of two people. You got a baby in your womb. You want time and a half. All right, listen, I appreciate the call.
Bye.
Thank you, Margie. I just got to get to the other calls here, but I definitely appreciate you holding. And she has very valid points because, Eric, that's Big Brother, again, 1984. If you confer personhood status to a fertilized egg or to an embryo, then, in essence, you are setting that mother up for prosecution for murder or all kinds of...
They're going to keep you in bed for bed rest. They're going to keep you like veal, like you can't move. You can't do anything just to make sure the baby's safe.
Exactly. They're going to put them on like birthing farms, like chickens and other things like that, just to make sure that the government is looking after, you know, its potential offspring, its potential military recruits and whatnot. So unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable. Hey, I want to do another clip here, and then I'm going to get to more of the phone calls in a second, Eric. This one is very sad, too. This is in Indiana, and it's, a male legislator talking about, you know, whether or not rape is kind of legitimate or for real, and then a woman who happens to get very emotional about it, okay?
Just want you to think about this, in my view, a giant loophole that could be created where someone who could, and I want to be very careful, I don't want to disparage in any way someone who's gone through the experience of a rape.
But he's gone anyway.
But someone who is desirous of an abortion could simply say that they've been raped or there's incest. And
unbelievable, you pig.
This doesn't allow for any situation where there's a charge or a conviction or a confirmation of that. So I would ask you, as I think most Americans and most Hoosiers believe, that abortion coverage of any kind should not be a part of the federal health care Act, and I would ask you.
Somebody's going to lie about it. Listen to this.
Representative Lawson.
Female legislator.
I was a sex crimes investigator for 6 years.
Representative Lawson, let's take a second just to collect yourselves on this very emotional issue.
I doubt if anybody in this room has ever sat where I have sat. I was a sex crimes investigator for 6 years for the police department in Hammond, Indiana. And I'm going to tell you what it looks like and what it sounds like when women are raped, or 6-year-olds are raped, or 18-month-old babies are raped, or 97-year-old women are raped. They don't make it up. Then they have to go to court. They have to stand in a courtroom and they have to face the person who did it to them. Women don't make this up. My goodness. This is the state of Indiana.
Unbelievable. I mean, again, another male pig actually going out there. And I love how he used the word, if a woman is desirous of, you know, an abortion, like desirous.
Desirous,
like,
like
you're...
Like they can't wait.
Yeah, like you're just, you know, you're fantasizing about
and
it.
And I like how he says most Americans agree
right.
with
and it. Hoosiers,
like, really,
too.
Really?
Yeah, no, exactly. Most Americans don't agree with you, you idiot. No, we don't agree with you, okay? And that's why your people, when they get to a general election, and the people hear the pig-headed, moronic crap coming out of your head, that's why America rejects you ultimately in these elections. But, you know, this poor woman who worked in the sex crimes division, you know, you could hear her. She was crying her eyes out.
Yeah, she's seen the worst of the worst.
Right.
And you know, and then for this guy to go and say that, that's just insane.
Right. So, again, elected Republican officials, conservative ideologues, having no clue, no part of the reality-based community. 27 minutes after the hour. Back with your calls in a moment. This is the Tom Hartman Program, and I am Dr. Mike Newcomb.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 866-987-THOM.
Okay, welcome back. 34 minutes currently after the hour. Dr. Mike Newcomb sitting in here today for Tom Hartman. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. And today we have dedicated the entire show, all 3 hours, to the women of this country who continue to suffer at the hands of conservative fanatics and ideologues in this country as they continue to assault women's individual liberties, their freedoms, their relationship with respect to having an open, transparent, private relationship with their physicians across the country. I mean, you name it. Economic terrorism going on with women only earning 70 cents per dollar versus their male counterparts. And obviously this all came to an ugly head with the disgusting remarks of Representative Todd Akin, who was seeking the Senate position, the United States Senate position in Missouri. So we're going to keep going with the Freedom Lines. I still have some more audio to share with you today, my friends. And let's just go right to the Freedom Lines. We have Delilah on the line from Florence, Massachusetts. Delilah, welcome to the table.
Hi.
How
Hello.
Are you? Am I saying your name correctly? Is it Delilah?
Delia.
Okay. Delia. Okay. There you go. I wasn't even close.
If I was Delilah, I could cut the hair.
Right, right. Or you can, well, anyway.
And rob him of his power, his paternalistic power.
Exactly, exactly. So what's on your mind today with Mr. Akin?
With this Akin, the Republicans are furious at him because they have to shut him up. Most of them aren't as stupid as he is to give away the game. That is actually what they all do believe, and they have to have obsessive power over women.
Yeah,
so
I mean, there's no doubt.
Up.
It's no doubt about it. I mean, do you think this is why Mitt Romney now is calling for Akin to step down? Because Mitt feels as though that his chances of becoming president now are imperiled because of Akin's remarks?
Absolutely, because people are going to start putting it together and realize that they're a hyper-paternalistic party with a pathological, obsessive need to control women.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Well, listen, we got a lot of callers. I appreciate your time. Thanks for being patient, okay? Thank you. All right, bye-bye now. Okay, let's go next to Heidi. Heidi on the line from Bellevue, Washington, and she wants to talk about a personal experience of her own. Heidi, welcome.
Hi. Hi, I hope you'll be patient with me because this is very difficult. I have a one-year-old son, well, a son who will be 1 year old tomorrow, and I have an older child. Last year I went through an abortion, basically. I kind of feel like you're moving the conversation to the right in just that abortion can only be justified in the sense of rape or incest. But my experience was that this was a planned pregnancy. I was pregnant with twins. I had a selective reduction, which is basically an abortion of one twin, for a variety of reasons. I didn't feel I could handle twins, but the primary reason is also given that teachers are being beat up on. I'm a school teacher. And daycare for an infant where I live is $1,700 a month. And I couldn't afford, when it came down to brass tacks, I have to work. And I couldn't afford $3,400 a month for daycare and to take care of my rest of my family. And having brought two pregnancies full term as a woman, I can say that this, I didn't look upon it as a blastocyst. I did look upon this as a child. It was a very difficult, difficult thing to do. Mm-hmm. But I still feel that this is part of the Republican war on women, because if they were truly interested in saving these lives, and I do feel that the child I reduced or aborted was a human life, they would put in the supports so that women can keep these children, even women who really want them, such as universal child care, and those types of support. If our safety net weren't completely in shreds, maybe I would have been able to have that child. But tomorrow is my son's birthday, which in a sense is a joyful event, but I'm also thinking about the twin that I had to abort because there was just no other economic choice. And I want to say an economic choice as a teacher. And since part of this war on women is also a war on teachers, I will say I had my son by C-section, very painful. In my state, you only get 2 nights in hospital by C-section. I could barely, you know, walk, you know, I could barely take care of my baby, let alone my other child. And I returned to work 2.5 weeks post C-section.
Wow. Wow. So, yeah, look, Heidi, my heart goes out to you. And as I had alluded to earlier, that's a very, very difficult decision that you made. And it's something, like you just said, you will live with it through the rest of your life. But if we had more social safety nets available to people in positions such as yours, then I think that you probably, based off of your own testimony here today, that you would have made a different decision.
Yes, I would have.
Yeah.
I would have.
Right, listen, Heidi, I really appreciate you telling this on the air live. I know it's very difficult, and thank you for doing that, okay?
Well, thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye now. All right, that's Heidi from Bellevue, Washington, who ultimately, because of economic forces, was, you know, Eric, and that's what happened. See, and this is what I'm saying. This is why conservatives are pro-birth. They're not pro-life, because if they were pro-life, you would have safety nets like Heidi had mentioned, and she would be able to get some type of subsidy, some type of child support, because, quite frankly, our fellow man is not rising to the occasion, not coming to the table.
You know, and teachers, there is a war on teachers. They should be getting a lot more money.
Right. Here's what Romney said about people kind of in Heidi's position here, because she was talking about the social safety nets.
I'm in this race because I care about Americans. I'm not concerned about the very poor. We have a safety net there. If it needs a repair, I'll fix it.
Right. So remember, what do we call it here? The safety hammock.
The safety hammock.
Yes. The poor people just kind of swinging.
Lounging around
with the little margarita.
Swinging in their hammock.
Little ceviche and just, you know, getting those government checks. Nothing like the safety hammock. But that's exactly what Heidi had alluded to. See, here you got Mitt Romney, who supposedly is pro-life, right?
And saying that we do have those safety nets.
Saying that we have these safety nets. And this poor woman had to actually do a selective reduction of one child in the womb because she just couldn't do it economically. There's no way that she could have done it. So she did choose life. She brought one child into this world and is apparently raising two kids now. And it's just sad. It's sad to see women in that unenviable position, to feel alone, to feel as though you have no economic resources, and to have a Republican Party saying, basically, guess what? Screw you. You're on your own. And as long as you have the baby, that's all I care. After the baby exits the womb, then, you know, guess what, Heidi? You're on your own. And, you know, that's unfortunately what the Republican philosophy is all about. Okay, let's get back to some more of the Freedom Lines here, my friends. I want to get more people into the mix. Let's go next to Dusty. Dusty's been holding for over an hour. God bless him. Dusty from Detroit, Michigan. How are you, Dusty?
Hi, Dr. Mike. Thanks for taking my call.
Oh, gee. All right. See, I thought it was because I know Dusty Baker, the baseball player. All right, but anyway. How are you?
Not the baseball player. Heidi, I'm sorry for your loss. I share your grief.
I wasn't for legalization of abortion in the first place. Of course, that was 40 years ago. But you cannot take it back now. You can't unring the bell. This is the information age, and too many people know too much about how to do an abortion, or at least they think they do. Rich
right.
women have always been able to get an abortion. Their doctors have put them in and done DNCs or biopsies. They've always had it. It's the poor that didn't. They were the ones who went to the back alley women. Now
right.
there's so much information on the internet and in the textbooks that you will have, if you take away legalized abortion or make it even more difficult than it is, mm-hmm. you will have girls doing abortions in the restroom in junior high.
Sure.
Actually, you already do, by the way. But you will have more of it. Talk about cottage industry. There will be people thinking they know. I mean, almost anybody can do an abortion. They just can't do a safe
Correct.
Abortion. And you're going to have young women bleeding to death. It isn't just about rape. That doesn't make up the majority. Incest is a lot more prevalent than people are aware of. But married
right.
women sometimes choose, if a woman has four children and her husband live in poverty, birth control sometimes fail. Condoms
sure.
break. Sperm goes bad. Sometimes you miss a pill. Diaphragms, you know, they rupture, whatever.
Right.
Is it really, should you give this woman the death sentence if she goes to the vet tech down the street and gets an abortion and leaves her four children alone because
right.
you don't think it's okay? When Mormon women have abortions or Catholic women have abortions, they repent and go on with their life. That's
right.
their
no.
life. That's their
no,
choice.
And no
doubt. Other people need to be able to live their life.
All right, Dusty, well said. I appreciate it. Thank you for your patience, and thank you for your commentary.
Thank you.
All right, that's Dusty weighing in with her thoughts right there. But, Eric, we did a little research during the break, and we found out that actually it is not uncommon to get pregnant from a rape. We found that it was about a 5% rate. Correct?
5%
of the rapes
yes.
actually eventuated in pregnancy. And
I
think across the United States, over 30,000.
32,000.
32,000 women were impregnated as a direct result of rape in this country. So that's 32,000 women that conservatives and Republicans are saying, guess what? That's your child. That's your son. That's your daughter. And you have to have that child. Back in a moment. Stay with us.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Visit TomHartman.com for audio and video archives.
From the war against disorder, from the sirens night and day, from the fires of the home.
Okay, welcome back. 50 minutes after the hour. This is the final segment for today, my friends. This is the Freedom Express pulling up to its final stop, its final destination, and a special thanks to Tom Hartman and his team for the opportunity to once again air nationally and speak truth to power and defend the rights and liberties of all human beings on this earth. But in particular today, we've dedicated the program to the women across the country who are now the recipients of the venom and hostility and liberty infringing and freedom denying policies of the radical right wing. So that being said, I want to play this last clip for you too. This is from The Daily Show, Jon Stewart, and this happens to deal with a woman who was raped while in the military, and then because of the policies, the woman was not able to seek legal redress of her grievances. So it speaks for itself. Just listen to it.
As you know, former Saturday Night Live alumni Al Franken is now the junior senator from the great state of Minnesota. And slowly but surely, he's been... Really? Still that excited about it? All right. Slowly but surely, he's been acclimating himself with the mysterious ways of that great deliberative body. His first Supreme Court confirmation hearing. His first joint session address by the commander-in-chief. His first wedgie in the Senate locker room. And, of course, his first legislative amendment.
Senator Al Franken proposing the Pentagon shouldn't hire contractors that make their employees agree in advance not to sue if they're raped by coworkers.
Seems like a bit of a slam dunk. Guess you want to start slowly there. How is that a loophole that needs closing?
Franken added the amendment because KBR, an employee here, a 19-year-old woman, was allegedly gang raped by a bunch of KBR workers in Iraq, then locked in a crate when she tried to report them. When finally she was freed and returned safely to the United States, she was told she could not sue KBR because of her contract fine print.
Should I bring back the chubby baby? Is that what you need? The old, it's okay if you get raped clause in government contracts. Got us again. Boy, I wish I'd been at that contract signing. Yeah, here it is. There's your overseas transfer papers right here. Inoculation verification, rape consent form, and your 1099. I'm sorry, what was the one in between the 1099 standard form? And asking me that question is considered consent. Welcome aboard. If ever there was a time for the unanimous passing of an amendment, the Franken Anti-Government Contractor Rape Liability Bill would seem to be that.
The final vote on the Franken Amendment was 68 to 30. All nay votes on the amendment came from Republicans.
Curious, huh?
I understand that we're a divided country. There's some disagreements on health care. How is anyone against this?
The Congress should not be involved in writing or rewriting private contracts. That's just not how we should handle matters in the United States Senate.
No, that's exactly how you should handle matters in the United States Senate. What are you saying? It's not the government's business to decide who the government does business with. That's entirely your job. Go on.
Instead of eliminating arbitration, we should probably be looking for ways to utilize mediation and arbitration more in these kind of disputes.
These kind of disputes. It's the best euphemism you can come up with for gang rape.
Unbelievable.
I suppose Jeffrey Dahmer was involved in dinner time arguments. It's gang rape. These types of kerfuffles, you know. What exactly is your real objection?
It's a political amendment, really, at bottom, representing a sort of a political attack directed at Halliburton.
Yeah, just a thought. If to protect Halliburton, you have to side against rape victims, you might want to rethink your allegiances. But all right, you don't want to defund taxpayer money going to Halliburton because a few of their employees gang raped someone and the company won't let the victim sue. Why don't we hear from four of the senators who voted against Franken's amendment on what we should do about Acorn?
My amendment would prohibit one more penny of taxpayer money from going to Acorn.
We've got to get corruption out of any organization that's taking taxpayers' money.
Repeated abuses of taxpayer dollars allowed to occur in their name.
It's unsustainable for any member of Congress to justify the continued funding of this organization.
Acorn is not above the law.
Well, I guess it's an efficiency thing. You don't want to waste taxpayer money giving it to someone who advises fake prostitutes how to commit imaginary crimes. You want to give it to Halliburton because they're committing real gang rape. You cut out the middleman. And they say government doesn't work.
All right, well, there you have it. I just thought that was so apropos for today, Eric. And we spoke about this here extensively on our local program because both of our state senators, U.S. federal senators, John McCain and John
Kyle, were part of the nays.
They were part of the 30 people who actually voted to not go ahead with the Franken Amendment, which would simply bar contracting with military contractors who wanted to go to arbitration for rape cases.
That's crazy that they who would vote against that.
Well,
said.
But this is my whole point, and this is why I wanted to conclude today's program with that audio clip, because that is the face of the Republican Party. To them, the private contract is much more sacrosanct. The free market to them is much more important than is a woman and her body and the sanctity of her body. Okay? It's just unbelievable what's happening. So, again, a special thanks to Tom Hartman and his team for allowing me the opportunity to speak directly to Truth and Power and Liberty and Freedom today. And as I said, this program goes out to all the women in this country right now who feel as though you're being discriminated against, being belittled, and we are there, we're with you, and we're going to stay with you. God bless, and we'll talk to everybody soon.
Been listening to Tom Hartman. For audio and video archives, go to tomhartman.com.